It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964, specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right. Here we go as we broadcast from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios. Steve Sparky Five with you. Charlie Hughes, other side of the glass. Game 2, NL Wildcard tonight. 6:30 first pitch at American Family Field. Brewers and the Mets. Frankie Montas on the mound for the Brew Crew tonight. Joining us now, he is Jack Stern from BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Jack, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, before we get into looking ahead to tonight, I want to go back to last night, if you don't mind. Yes, they gave up a bunch of runs when the bullpen came in after Freddie Peralta. But before we get to that, let's talk about Freddie Peralta not being too pleased that he was pulled at that moment in time. You know, Pat Murphy asked about it after the game, rambled forever, and then eventually got to the point of, well, we didn't want him to face the lineup a third time through. I said earlier on the show that that is a complete lack of trust in Freddie Peralta at this point, and it's a postseason game. It's not a regular season game in June. He pulled the same thing with Tobias Myers earlier this summer. And again, regular season, it is what it is. In this moment in time, regardless if he's a true one or not, right? He's not Corbin Burns, I get it. But he's your one in this starting rotation. To show that lack of trust, I just don't think it's good, man, going forward. And Freddie Peralta's on this team still going forward next year, and if they get through this round, he's going to have to pitch in the next round.
I mean, I think when you talk about the notion of whether or not you have trust in Freddie Peralta there, I think there does need to be an element in this discussion of, has Freddie Peralta earned that level of trust? You look at the kind of season he's had. Everybody knows about the upside. Everybody knows that he's very capable of a big game if his stuff is on. That's why he got the ball in game one to begin with. So I think there's already a base level of trust that you're showing by giving him that start. But he had an inconsistent regular season. We've seen it happen throughout the year where as the pitch count grows, the stuff starts to diminish a little bit. If you look at his splits past the third time through the order, he's allowed an OPS over 840 once that lineup turns over a third time. And I think you look at the way that this game was going as well, too, for Freddie. I know there was the 9 straight batters retired when Murphy took him out, but he had already been staked to a lead earlier in the game, and instead of a shutdown inning, he gave that lead right back. And I think that when you just look at the way this pitching staff is structured, you look at what we know about Freddie Peralta's game, I think you just kind of have to put aside the narrative of, okay, it's your game one starter. How much trust do you have in your game run starter? The reality is, here's what Pat Murphy had to work with. He had a game one starter who had an inconsistent season, who has known weaknesses, who already gave up a big inning earlier in the game. And then he's also got a really good deep bullpen, including guys like Yoel Piamps and Aaron Ashby, who threw the ball as well as anybody in that bullpen in the month of September. So I understand some of the frustration, and I understand even the frustration from Peralta's perspective as a competitor. I think you want every guy to be frustrated that he came out in that spot. Every guy should want to take the ball. That's a true competitor right there. But when I look at this from my perspective and you weigh all the factors going on, I just have a hard time seeing any real issues with how Pat Murphy managed that. And I've been a guy who, I think out of some of the guys covering this team, I've been pretty hard on a lot of his bullpen decisions. I have a hard time seeing any huge problems with this one. If I was in that same spot, I probably would have done the same thing. So definitely an interesting discussion to have. But I think out of all the things that went wrong in this game, pulling Freddie Peralta, I'm not sure you can really point to that one as clearly as a catalyst of all this stuff that went wrong in that fifth inning.
Well, see, but that's just it, though. I mean, so you go to that fifth inning, and you've got Churiel makes a great play, then Churiel misses a play. Murphy defends him after, says, hey, that's a tough spot with where the sun is, where he was trying to field the ball, so forth. So he defends the Churiel mistake, but that's still a mistake. You have Payamps not running to cover first base. You learned that in youth baseball. And not getting over there in time against a fast runner. You know, if it's Rhys Hoskins running down the line and Payamps has to beat him, obviously you're not as worried as Payamps because it's not a fast runner. The guy he was trying to beat wasn't slow by any stretch of the imagination. And he would have got there and beat him had he actually taken off at the correct time. So that's another mistake. Adames can't transfer the ball on a backhanded pickup. That's another mistake. And everybody wants to be mad at Payamps and Ashby, but again, defensively, that's what lets you down, and that's what's been a strength of this team all year.
Yeah, and I think that's what made that inning so jarring to watch. That was not the same baseball team that we've seen for almost the entirety of the regular season. In a lot of ways, it was the exact opposite. You talked about the multiple defensive miscues that they made. I think Payamps didn't throw the ball great. He gave up loud contact on top of that, and just from the defensive standpoint, it was that misplay that he made, not breaking to first base as soon as that ball hit to the right side, that really did open the door. And it was just kind of an example of not picking up Jackson Churu as well. I know he had that misplay, but he also robbed extra bases from Starling Marte to start that inning. But it just seemed like things kept snowballing there, even on the pitching side too. Aaron Ashby comes in. That's a tough break for Ashby when Adames can't make that transfer. But after that at bat, instead of bearing down, he started falling behind guys. He had the wild pitch, walked the guy. There was also an intentional walk in there. Just everything snowballed on this team, and it snowballed in areas where they've very, very often throughout the regular season, almost always been very strong. And instead, they were not strong in those areas last night. And there's a lot of things you can point to that went wrong, but that fifth inning and the defense and the pitching specifically, not fun to watch, and it's definitely the headline from last night's game.
Talking with Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. They do a great job at Brewer Fanatic. Again, they go in depth on so many different players and situations and so forth. It is just great, great reading, and you learn so much about the game of baseball, about the different players. Again, if you've not checked out the website, check it out, BrewerFanatic.com. All right, Jack, so let's now talk about where they sit currently. They did not have to use Devin Williams, which is good, I guess. They did not have to use McGill, so that's good. So the back end of their pen is good. The problem is Diaz also was not had a, didn't have to be used by the Mets last night as he was unavailable. He should now be available for the Mets tonight if they get in a close game situation. It's do or die for the Brewers more so than the Mets. So how do you see this working as far as how Murphy is going to go about this? I mean, is he going to kind of empty out the whole bullpen to try to get to game three here? I would assume he'd be super aggressive.
Yeah, I think you really don't have much of a choice in any other way to play it. They still have guys who are available, and not only guys who are available, but guys who can give you some length. D.L. Hall didn't pitch last night. Joe Ross didn't pitch last night. Those are guys who can soak up some innings for you, even if you get a short start. So you still have the ability to have a short lease for, in my mind, just about every guy who's asked to take the ball tonight. I think that that's something that the Brewers still have the ability to do. On the flip side, the Mets also have a lot more flexibility with how they can use their bullpen tonight as well. And I think that's something that needs to be talked about as well. The Brewers offense, they let Luis Severino settle in. They limited the Mets to only having to use two relievers. That's pretty big. It's got implications for tonight because now the Mets are in a way better spot to shut the Brewers down the rest of the way again if they're able to take a lead. But I think we're going to see a pretty eventful game tonight. I think that we're going to see Pat Murphy have a quick hook with guys again, and the Mets will probably have quicker hooks with guys as well because they have more pitchers available. So a lot of different outcomes that could come out from this game, a lot of different paths that it could follow. But I think the Brewers are going to have to be pretty aggressive because their season's on the line right now, and they still have a lot of guys available, especially on that pitching staff, to help try to keep it alive.
I understand why when there's a righty on the mound, we have one lineup. And when there's a lefty, there's another lineup. But I'm sorry. When I see a lineup that has Perkins batting .200 and Sanchez batting .500, followed by Hoskins, both guys slow, both guys can grind into double plays left and right, I don't get overly excited by this lineup. Especially Terang coming off of 3 hits yesterday and now is batting .900.
I mean, it comes down to you want to put guys in the best position to succeed, and you know, there's a lot of debate that can go into the best way to put together a lineup, but the bottom line is the Brewers think that with this lineup, they're putting guys in the best position to succeed. They're putting their offense in the best position to score runs. You got Blake Perkins in that two-hole. I know that his overall season numbers are not inspiring. He's got good splits against left-handed pitching this year, though. I don't know if the metrics all necessarily back up his production against lefties this year, but it is a reality. It's something Murphy's looking at, especially if he does want to keep some speed at the top of that lineup, put in a guy who can get on base, get into scoring position very quickly for those guys like Gary Sanchez or William Contreras or even Rhys Hoskins, depending on how the inning unfolds. So I think that, you know, you can poke holes in just about any lineup that this Brewers team is rolling out there, because they're not the Dodgers. They're not a team that has guys who you can plug into just about any spot and you have a hard time finding any weaknesses whatsoever there. This is a lineup that you're going to have to get a little creative sometimes with how you organize things. And from my perspective, I'm just not someone who's going to nitpick a lineup a lot. I know some people like to, but I think right now that the focus more than anything just needs to be on the guys who are in there need to have quality at-bats. They need to see pitches. They need to make smart swing decisions, because the reality is if you do that and you're putting up productive at-bats, the order of the batting order is not going to matter as much as people, you know, might want to nitpick all that stuff.
What do you take away from the fact that they just saw these guys? I mean, the Mets just saw Montas. The Brewers just saw Sean Manaea. Is that advantage pitcher, or do you think that's advantage hitter?
It's interesting to me because I think it can kind of be a little bit of a wash. You know, you can look at it from the perspective of the Brewers have seen Sean Manaea. They now have an up-close read on him. But Sean Manaea has also seen a lot of their hitters, and now the Mets have more intel perhaps on how Sean Manaea needs to attack those guys. And it's the same for Frankie Montas as well. One thing I will say is both of these guys on the mound have the benefits of having enough pitches in their arsenal where they can tweak things a little bit from how they attack these hitters the last time. So maybe there is a little bit of a boosted comfort level with you've just seen how the ball looks coming out of each of these guys' hands. But at the same time, they could come out today and each starter could attack these guys completely differently today. We could see Sean Manaea go to more breaking balls. We could see Frankie Montas throw more splitters, depending on what the read is on these guys, the swings they're seeing early. So I think at the end of the day, both of these guys are still going to go out. They're going to go out with what they feel is the best game plan to beat these teams. And the hitters, they just need to respond. Pitching is always something you have a little bit more control over. You're starting the process of each play. Hitting is reactionary. So I think that's important to remember whenever you're talking about what happens with repeated exposure to guys.
Let me ask you one last question, because this was brought up by Charlie Hughes, my producer, early. Do you think the stage and the bright lights of the playoffs is having any effect on these younger hitters? Because you look at the Orioles, and they got shut out yesterday, and they were losing at last check, I think, today as well, and that's a super young team as well. What do you say to that?
I don't like to say anything definitively about that, so I'm not going to. I think, again, you just kind of have to come back to the playoffs are a little bit random, and I'll say this as well. I'm not ruling out the possibility that that could be going on, but the only people who know how each of these guys are feeling in their heads, how they're approaching the game mentally, the only guys who know that are the players themselves.
Right.
We can see what's unfolding on the field, so we can try to draw conclusions from that, but here's the thing. If the Brewers have a game like they had last night in the middle of the regular season, which they have had off games in the regular season,
yep,
they've had games where the run prevention unit has not looked good. You can look back to that inning in Arizona a few weeks ago when they had a huge lead and the defense started melting down a little bit. The relief pitching almost gave away a big lead. If that happens in the regular season, I don't think people draw the same conclusion about maybe the bright lights impacting them. It happens in the playoffs. That starts to become a little bit of a discussion. So I don't think we just ever really have enough evidence to say for sure that that's going on. So for that reason, I'm not going to definitively say that it's an issue with not being able to play on the big stage.
I'm with you. He is Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. As always, very good. Jack, thanks a lot, buddy. Enjoy the game.
Thanks for having me.